Would you turn to Luke chapter 21, please? Luke chapter 21. We're going to spend some time this morning talking about spiritual rebar. Luke chapter 21. I'd like you to see it in your own Bible before I bring it up on the screen. If you have a Bible, turn to Luke 21. If you don't have a Bible, slip up your hand and there'll be others around you who'll be able to help you get one. We have some Bibles for reading at the back. Luke 21, and I'm going to begin this morning in verse 7. Luke 21, verses 7 through 19 is actually the key section of Scripture that I'll be tuning in with. You were here just this last couple of weeks when George Otis Jr., after a prophecy, got up and spoke on Thursday night of our conference. And he said that the particular prophecy, and it was Pastor John Branson from Linwood, Christ the Rock Fellowship in Linwood with Pastors John and Judy Engstrom. He had prophesied what has been prophesied here many times about the Lord is coming soon. How many remember that prophecy? It was a powerful word and declared powerfully. And George Otis remarked that as he travels around the world, this is one of the things that he hears over and over and over again. Now, I know it's been declared throughout generations, but there seems to be a quickening. This is off the notes, but Matthew 24, Jesus talks about the end times, and he talks about the things that are happening. You'll hear of earthquakes, et cetera, et cetera. And then he says it's like birth pangs. Well, ladies, you will recall, if you've had children, birth pangs are fairly similar. They only increase in rapidity and intensity. It's not that there's a brand new experience. It's it gets faster and faster, more rapid and more intense when the birth comes. And you take a look around the world right now and you see an intensity of what Jesus is up to. How many know God's up to something good? He's up to something great, but he is certainly up to something. We were blessed in conference by being under an open heaven, truly, where the Spirit of God moved in our times of worship. But how many also know that it's not enough that we had a couple of services together? The Lord opened something, so he asks us all to press right in to a new day of what he's doing. I, for one, will say unto you, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and we will keep going. Someone say amen. I want a fresh new day, Lord, and if you've opened up a brand new door, which I believe you have, I want us all to press in and go on with the Lord. God's up to something great. Now, the disciples in Luke 21 were on pins and needles, wondering what Jesus was up to. The tide was turning in some cases against the Lord. He began to teach and speak some things that were really different, confusing, seemed confusing to them. They wondered what was going to happen, just like we as disciples today wonder what's going to happen. So let me give you the setting. The setting where the disciples were walking with him, listening to him, and they had just seen a widow throw two mites into the offering. You recall the section? And Jesus says to his disciples, turn to them. So get it in your mind. This Jesus and his disciples are watching. Just like if, you know, we do have offering boxes. We don't take up offerings here. I could do one right now that I'm talking about it, but I won't. Anyway, so we give our offerings as an act of worship. And our tithes and offerings as an act of worship. But Jesus is standing right over here, kind of just watching. And then he says to the guys, that poor widow has just thrown in more than all the other fancy rich people have done in all their offerings they've given. There's your context. And his disciples are going, whoa, dude, that's radical. And he's at the temple site and they begin to talk about this glorious temple and how it's the donations of all the rich people, if you will, who have made this temple possible. And Jesus stuns them. He sticks, if you will, a dagger into the heart of their spirits when he says, this thing is coming down. Not one stone will be left upon the other. Not one. And here's the corporate thought. We don't have it in the word. You have to let it live. The corporate thought that ran through every one of those disciples' minds at that moment. Excuse me? Radical. Powerful. And it's all coming down. So spiritual rebar is what we're going to talk about this morning, and there'll be a context that we provide for it. What does it mean? In building methods, rebar stands for reinforcing bar. A steel bar or a mesh of steel wires used as a tension device in reinforced concrete to strengthen and hold the concrete in tension. It's used also in masonry structures. The rebar's surface is often patterned to create a pattern that will be in the concrete to form a better bond with it. Originally, concrete structures were not reinforced. Rebar has been used in construction methods since at least the 15th century. But amazing structures still stand from times well before rebar was ever used. Powerful. Now, we're going to look at these scriptures, and I'm going to talk this morning about spiritual rebar. Luke 21:7-19. So they asked him, saying, Teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? And he said, Take heed that you do not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he. The time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be what? Say it with me, please.
Terrified.
Do not be terrified. There are terrorists all around the world currently in our society. ISIS. Genocide happening. Christians being slaughtered. Churches being burned to the ground, people we know or have supported in missions around the world, having to go find new places to live and new places to minister, but going right back into the fields where the Lord put them out of the heart burden to reach those people for the Lord. But terrorists, you have North Korea shooting off missiles, and they're working on a missile that will deliver a nuclear torpedo to the soil of the U.S., the mainland. But Jesus says, don't be terrified, because these things must come to pass first. Read it with me. But the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be great earthquakes in various places. Have you just heard about earthquakes this week, haven't you? In Ecuador. Massive quake this week and huge aftershocks. Aftershocks to the substantial weight of what would normally be a huge earthquake somewhere else. And that's following a massive earthquake. But earthquakes, famines and pestilences, there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before, so he's going back now, before all these things, so you follow the context. Before all this happens, they will lay hands on you, and that doesn't mean for nice, good impartation. They will lay hands on you and persecute you. Now I gotta tell you and be honest enough to admit right along with you, if I had a promise box that I like to wake up in the morning and pull one out and read it, I would not want to read this one. They're going to lay hands on you and persecute you, dude. Okay. Delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Again, brothers and sisters all around the world are suffering in ways we know nothing about, church. We need to be praying for the Church of Jesus Christ at large, all around the world. We get, no matter how much we go through, and I know we all walked in with some measure of frustrations and tensions, different issues in our lives, day by day, but no matter how much we go through, we are still among the wealthiest people on the earth, and because of the provision of the Lord, we are some of the most comfortable. The poorest among us in this room are among the wealthiest of the entire world's population. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
It's true, and we thank you, Lord, for your provision. But watch this, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for, say it with me, I want you to read that whole verse with me again. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Anybody ever prayed, Lord, let my testimony be alive? Maybe the other night after George Otis had a powerful word, he said, you know, maybe you were among us who prayed, Lord, let my story be a living story. By the way, those are online now. Thank you so much. Dan and Roxanne, when they leave here, they don't just get to turn off the equipment and go home. They go and they put these things online. They had to work through all the various prophecies and worship and messages, but the messages are online, and we are just so immensely grateful to you guys for everything you do. And Dan, I already had George Stanky wrote me an email, and he was talking about the videos because somebody was here videoing. And he said, you know when those have come up? I said, I don't, but my team, my friend has already put the message online. So if you want to look for the messages, they're there. And the website is gracechristiancenter.us. Turn out as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, this is powerful, powerful. Therefore, settle it. Say it with me. Therefore, settle it. Settle it. Say it again. Settle it. Settle it in your heart. Like that rebar, like that powerful foundation going down, like the strengthening of the steel. Let it go down. Let it go down deep. Settle it. I'm not moving away from the gospel. I'm not running from the Lord. I am doing what He's called me to do. The hour is important. The hour is late. And Jesus is coming soon. And they may have said it every generation, but it's more powerful today than it's ever been. Settle it. I'm not running from the Lord. No matter how difficult it gets. Settle it. In your hearts. Not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer when people call you before the courts or call you before others, give a reason for your faith. Don't try to meditate beforehand necessarily on what you'll answer. For I'll give you a mouth and wisdom, and this goes on. But I want to say one thing. Study, read, live in the Word of God. That's why we make a daily practice of reading the Word, because it is Word in, Word out. Living Word of God in, Word out. When the tension comes and the problem comes, what's going to come out of you, anointed by God, is what you've invested by putting in. Amen? Yes. Turn to each other and say, love the Word of God more than ever. Settle it in your heart. Verse 15, I'll give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You'll be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends. They'll put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. There's another promise verse, right? Just give that to your friend when they're down or in the hospital. Here's a verse for you of encouragement. You're going to be hated by all men for my name's sake. Oh, wrong verse, sorry. But what's he saying here? But not a hair of your head shall be lost. Say the last phrase with me. By your patience, possess your souls. Keep going. Keep trusting. Keep believing. And the Bible says, occupy till it comes. Occupy. That literally in the Greek means do business. Do business till He comes. Just be about the business of living in Jesus Christ, being what He's called you to be, doing what He's called you to do, everyday living as a dedicated, sold-out, Jesus-loving Christian every day. Let's talk about it. What impresses men doesn't always impress God. We're impressed by big structures, big arenas, big size. Supersize it. Big French fries. Tear a kingdom down in 25 years, even though it still works, maybe not the best, but tear it down and replace it with a bigger, better opening roof, cool architecture building. And God doesn't bow to our buildings. I've been to the new facility. I like it. But did anybody besides me wonder, why did they tear that thing down after 25 years? And okay, there's all sorts of formulas. I get it. But we're impressed by big buildings. We're impressed by big things. But God doesn't always bow to our buildings. structures of the earthly empires were very impressive, and they give the sense, if you look through history, they give the sense that those people that are represented by it will last forever. Think of the pyramids. Think of the Aztec or Mayan cultures. Think of the huge edifices that still stand. And I'll bet the people assumed that the glory of those structures probably meant that their society was going to continue. Look at what happened with the Tower of Babel. You read about it in the Bible, and they built this glorious structure. But God is in charge of the affairs of men. And it came down. Now, the rebuilt temple of Herod, we'll just talk about it for a moment. The rebuilt temple of Herod was a magnificent, magnificent facility. When the disciples praised its grandeur to Jesus, the temple was in the midst of an 83-year building program. We get frustrated if the house we want to build is not up in 6 months or a year. But an 83-year building program started around 20 B.C., continued until A.D. 63 or 64. Frankly, it continued and wasn't finished until just a few years before the destruction of Jerusalem in A.D. 70. That's how long the building was on it. And you can understand that they looked at this facility. It was over 50 years old when Jesus was standing. If you take the date of the crucifixion in A.D. 33, and it might be a little bit different than that, but the temple made an incredible impression on people. And Josephus, the historian, gives it detailed descriptions about its beauty and in antiquities. The Roman historian Tacitus also describes the temple as containing great riches. We talked about it some before. Some stones were 12 to 60 feet in length, some 7.5 feet high, and some 9 feet wide. And they give them in cubits, which are 18 inches, typically 18 to 24 inches with a standard length of cubits. And most commonly, it's considered 18 inches when you're reading your King James Bible and it talks about cubits. The temple, Josephus says, loomed over the city like a snow-clad mountain. The white of the temple shone in the sunlight and could be seen forever. No wonder the disciples and Israel felt great pride at their great building. Surely, surely, something so God-magnificent will remain. Jesus' response, once again, comes like a knife in the heart of what they took their pride in. And he says, not a stone will be left on another. A heap of rubble is coming. And the disciples had to realize, guys, that the only way for that to happen would be a literally devastating series of events that would affect their lives as well. Let's talk about God's timing. Lord, when? When? Now, when you go to Luke chapter 21, I want you to understand there is a twin perspective being spoken about. And in most of the scriptures, Matthew 24, etc., you will find that there is a twin perspective. And that twin perspective serves as mirrors about when events are fulfilled. There's the preterist, the pre-preterist. There's all sorts of different theological perspectives to this. But there are two issues on the table. One is that event of the end that's being declared. When is it? When's the end, Lord? And the other one is Jerusalem's fall, because Jesus has been clear that something's coming. Something is going to happen. But the issue, see, and the thing to realize, it's just a little aside. So when you go to Scripture, there's more of a context of understanding. The thing is, you guys, the disciples at that time didn't know how to separate those two, because they didn't know if it was both coming at the same time. Here we stand 2,000 years later, and we go, okay, those are separate events. You can see Jerusalem being dealt with, and you can see the end that Jesus is talking about. Are you tracking with me?
Yeah.
Okay, 13 of you. The rest of you are going, all right, I don't know. Here's the point. As soon as the disciples saw what happened, and we'll talk some about 70 A.D. As soon as the disciples saw what happened in 70 A.D., they knew everything else he said about the end would come to pass. Because everything was fulfilled exactly like Jesus said. It's all important. Jesus said. So, there's going to be a lot of people walking around saying, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Christ. Follow me. And he says, don't you be deceived. Now, loosed in our land, please be honest enough to admit with me, loosed in the United States of America is a horrific spirit of deception. There is chaos in philosophy, chaos in our streets, and people are rejecting Jesus Christ and the Word of God, the Bible, more than ever before, and we wonder why we have a country decimated by deception. Jesus told his disciples, do not be deceived. How many here want to hold on to truth? Amen. Punch each other and say, you better hold on to truth, I'm watching. No, the Lord's watching, right? The Lord's watching. The disciples, though, he told his disciples, this is all going to happen. And he goes through a series of things and he says, but, don't be deceived. The Messiah won't have come yet, but also don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. The comfort in all of this is we're going to look at a series of things that are happening. And Jesus says, I love you guys. The Holy Spirit is coming. Don't be alarmed. Don't be deceived. I'm right here with you. You don't have to look at the chaos and do anything but understand. You don't have to be full of terror. Come on. Now I really do want you to turn to each other and say, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Chaos, civil wars, turmoil, huge events will precede the end. These things must take place. We understand that according to the Bible, sin will be with us until Christ returns. And pain and persecution should never surprise us. That's why Jesus told his disciples this. But what they do, what's happening is Jesus is trying to inform us of God's timetable. Are you with me? So there's what's happening here. When's this going to happen? Jesus is informing of God's timetable. The real indication of the end, however, in all of this is not Jerusalem's fall, but the return of the Son of Man. That's what it's all about. So let's look at disciples not being surprised when the world's in chaos. Jesus gives us the signs of the time. Don't be deceived. And that literally in the Greek means don't be seduced from or wander from the truth. Don't wander from the way. The Bible says guard your hearts in Proverbs 4. Anybody remember that verse? Guard your heart. And in Jude 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. If you're taking notes, that's Jude 1, verse 21. There's only one chapter in Jude, so you can say Jude 21 or Jude 1, verse 21. But keep yourself in the love of God. Proverbs 4, 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You hear that? So keep a watch over your heart. Don't let it wander. Everything you do flows from it. And I want you to say this out loud with me. Casual is the enemy of true faith. Come on, say it really loud. Come on. Casual is the enemy of true faith. Say it again. Casual is the enemy of true faith. Pastor Carl Barden used to have a poster a long time ago, and he said, casual Christians may become Christian casualties. Casual Christians may become Christian casualties. Casual about Jesus. Casual about the Word of God. Casual about church. Who needs it? Indifferent. Indifferent, which lets fire go out. The fire of your heart for the Lord. And when the fire goes out, you become subject to deceiving spirits. And all of a sudden you start thinking things that aren't truth and things you might not have thought 6 months earlier. When you wander away into indifference and choose a wrong path, all of a sudden your heart goes, that's okay. That's how it happens step by step. Jesus just doesn't seem as important. Galatians 6 verse 7 says, don't be deceived, God's not mocked. For whatever man sows, he will also reap. Now I know this is a serious message this morning, I know that. But I think it's a good check for us. How is your spiritual rebar doing? Come on, turn to each other, say it with me. We're going to do it all at the same time. 3, 2, 1. How is your spiritual rebar doing? All right. Jesus says there will be these things. For casual, we don't keep ourselves in the love of God. We need to. Number 2, wars and commotions. Literally in the Greek, that means battles or instability, disorder, confusion, being terrified. It says literally in the Greek, don't fly away with flight. And isn't that what terrorists want you to do? Fly away with flight. Leave the land to them. Leave everything to them. Leave your homes. Run away. Go and hide. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. See if that's here. Don't be afraid of him who can kill the body. Rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Keep your eye on the ball. When I taught my kids how to play baseball, I always said, keep your eye on the ball. How many know when you don't have your eye on the ball and you're playing catch, guess where you're going to catch that ball? Then you really will have your eye on the ball. Boom, right there. Oh. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the big picture. Keep your eyes on Jesus, in tune with what he's doing. Nation against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. Tribes against tribes of people, literally, is what it means in the Greek. Realm against realm. Now listen, there are philosophies that are a dime a dozen, hundreds, thousands of philosophies, and they all want you to spend billions of dollars on their program. And at the end of spending your money on the program, when you're exhausted trying to do their philosophy, you're just as bankrupt and empty as you were before you invested in it. Because Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. Amen? What it's really all about, you know, the scripture, if you'll let it live present day, remember Jesus said, follow me. I am the Christ. Don't be deceived. There'll be others saying, I'm the Christ. I'm the Christ. What are they saying? What are the philosophies saying? I'm the Christ. Really, I'm the truth. Follow me. And Jesus says, don't be deceived. Answers to grip men's hearts and minds is where the rubber hits the road. Is what you're pursuing truth? Is it really truth, or does it glitter like gold, and it's called pyrite? What's pyrite? Fool's gold. Don't be deceived. Great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences. In the Greek, literally, earthquakes mean commotions. Famine means destitution or dearth. Pestilences mean disease. Commotions all around the earth. Volcanoes are erupting. Some volcanoes that have sat perfectly quiet for hundreds of years. And quakes and shocks and aftershocks. And famine is destitution. People are still starving. And disease. How about you've heard of now the Zika virus? And I'm scratching from a mosquito bite. And I don't ever want to. Not that I'm pregnant. But, you know, you look at all these things, you go, my gracious Lord, what's next? Does anybody besides me ever wonder that? What's next? What's next? What's next is continuing to follow the Lord. Fearful sights, great signs from heaven, frightening things that you haven't seen before, and it's all mounting up to a huge cataclysmic event, and the terror of naturalists who say this is all our fault and we'll never be able to stand the cataclysmic event, but they belie the face of what the Word of God says, that the times and seasons are in the hands of the Lord. Persecution and betrayal and all of those things, even at your worst test, if you hold on, he will be your testimony. Say it with me. He will be my testimony, and settle it in your hearts. Let it sink down deep. It's done. I've made my choice. I have decided to follow him. I'm not going to live in terror. I'm not going to live in chaos, because in patience possess your souls. What does that mean in the Greek? Literally, it means a cheerful constancy, consistency. I'm going to keep walking with Jesus. No matter how bad the bad news is, there's good news in Jesus. Amen? Amen? Jesus says, I got this, and I got you. I got this, and I got you. 70 AD, Rome destroyed Jerusalem. The Jews had been in revolt since 66 AD. Now they were determined to crush the Israeli revolt. Josephus literally records, and I'm not going to be too graphic, that blood ran in the temple. Bodies piled up all around, didn't matter if you're man, woman, or child. Jesus had declared it would be, and the temple was burnt. There's one wall left standing, one part of one wall, the Wailing Wall. Jewish people later blamed the Christians for abandoning them because the Jews died. But remember, in that day, it was literally obeying the Lord as a Christian. He told them to flee when you see the signs coming, and they did. And what happened is they came. Now, let's see. They went to Pella. See that? North of Jerusalem, which is where they were, they fled to Pella, about 17 miles south of the Sea of Galilee. And they, most of the Christians who obeyed the word of the Lord, lived. What's going on? When you look around you guys, there's only one thing we're standing for. His name is Jesus. There's only one thing you can try and test and find true. And it's the Word of God. And it's Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us there's coming an end. Are you ready? Are you as on fire as you should be? Do you know that your rebar inside, your spiritual rebar, is right? Watch what the Scripture says out of the Message. This is powerful. In fact, read it out loud with me, would you please? There's no telling who will hate you because of me. Even so, every detail of your body and soul, even the hairs of your head, is in my care. Nothing of you will be lost. Watch this. Staying with it. That's what's required. Stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry. You'll be saved. Come on. You won't be sorry. You'll be saved. Pastor Kevin, where are you going into this? Why not just stand up and give us another few victory cheers? You were a yell leader in high school. You know how to do that. More joy, more clever strategies. Because the time is shorter than you might think. And I fail you as a pastor if I don't say, church, God's opened up a heaven for a reason. Let us run after Him. Let us make sure that with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we are fastened and fixed. The verse in Scripture says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. To you will the gathering of the people be. To you we run. We have a window of time. God's heart is not that any should perish. There's a window of time to reach out to our neighbors, to our families. And there's still, even when the marketplace doesn't want to hear about our Jesus, we still get to bring Him to the marketplace. We still get to be transformed. We still get to give Him liberty. We still get to have spiritual rebar. Are you ready to stand in this hour? Are you ready no matter what He does? Are you ready to reach out to that family member who said, nah, not too interested, the neighbor down the street? Are you ready to stand with courage? Because remember in Joshua, He said, be courageous. Go do the will of God. And right now, even if it's not popular, hold on with spiritual rebar. Stand true, stand strong, and move forward. Amen? Amen. Stand with me, church. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to you, I pray that there'll be a week where you rejoice in the Lord. He loves you so much. This is not a condemning, berating message. This is a serious message, but it's serious because the Lord says, come on, guys, come running after me. It's a serious day. Now, please don't be offended if Pastor Sherry and I leave real quickly this morning. We have something we have to go to, and I'll ask one of the gentlemen to lock up the doors for us here. But we are excited about Jesus. Are you? We're excited about running after Him, continuing with Him, being what He wants us to be, and being everything He wants us to be. Amen. Father, we thank You for this great day. We put our trust in You, and we thank You that You're the God who does all things well. Now, there's a reason this was on your heart this morning. And so we are going to agree with you that Jesus, our hearts are fixed. Our hearts are fixed. We will sing and give You praise. We love You so much in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. There'll be a team of people over here to pray for you if you need healing in your body. But above all, go out and rejoice in the Lord and live for Him more than ever before. We'll see you at Grace Gathering Wednesday night, and we'll be back here next Sunday morning rejoicing in Him, okay? Raise your hands with me, church. Lord Jesus, we thank You for all that You've said and done this morning to our hearts and in our hearts and lives. And Lord, we receive the spiritual rebar, all those powerful words You brought out this morning. We respond to You as Your people. Take Your liberty in our lives as we continue to run after You in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Receive the blessing. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Be released. Have a fantastic day in the Lord.